only begun to spin, and she will brook no weakness now.
Menzo Berenzon thrives under my leadership.
Does it?
House Sorlauren has settled Gontalgrim. The ancient forge is fired anew, and to the benefit of Menzo Berenzon.
And House Barazin Delarmgo? Grom asked slyly. Do they view the move of Sorlauren as one that strengthens the hand of Matron Mother Quenthel, or as one that opens an opportunity for them here in the City of Spiders? You have removed a threat to them, have you not?
Their enemies, the Sorlaurens, are not far. Matron Xerath is still within the city,
Quenthel protested.
But when she goes, and the compound here is abandoned, as is soon to occur,
they will not be far.
And if Matron Mez Barisarmgo offers Xerath a better deal than you have offered?
Quenthel slid back into her chair, mulling over that dangerous notion. A long while passed before she looked up across the desk at Gromph, who stood towering above her now.
Take heart, dear sister, Gromph said lightly. We do not even know the source of Lady Lolf's shriek. Perhaps it is naught but a residual scream of frustration over some event in the realm of the gods that has no bearing upon us whatsoever. Perhaps it was not, is not, directed at you, or at House Bayenry, or at Menzo Berenzon at all. Who can tell with these gods?
Quenthel nodded hopefully at that.
They will likely have engaged the Yawkla by now,
she explained, rising once more and turning for the door.
Let us go and get our answers.
You go,
Gromph bade her. He already had his answers, after all.
I have my work here. I will remain in House Bayenry this day and throughout tomorrow in case I am needed.
That seemed to satisfy the matron mother, and she took her leave, and Gromph remained standing until she had closed the door behind her. Then he sat, with a profound sigh. He did not need a handmaiden to enlighten him. Another source, more ancient than he, had already told him of the stirrings of the Spider Queen and Lolf's mounting frustration with Menzo Berenzon. Quenthel would return to him shortly, he knew, and she would not much enjoy the journey he had planned for her.
The handmaiden's muddy voice, bubbly and scratchy all at once, fit its physical appearance, that of a half-melted blob of dirty wax, and with several tentacles waving around just to complete the nightmare.
You extend, but you are not strong,
the Yawkla said, clearly irritated.
So Sumptu and Marineal exchanged nervous glances.
We seek only to please the Spider Queen,
so Sumptu replied, her voice thick with proper deference and supplication.
She is pleased by strength, said the Yawkla.
It was a surprising answer to both the priestesses, in that it did not include any variation or synonym to the word chaos, which was the very edict and domain of Lady Lolf. The gooey mass shifted then, turning slowly and thinning as it went. The tentacles shrank and became arms, drow arms, and drow legs, as the creature transformed into the guise of a female drow, naked and glorious. With a wry grin, the handmaiden walked over to Marineal and gently lifted her hand to stroke the drow's cheek and chin.
Are you afraid, daughter of Matron Mother Quinth?
The Yawkla-turned drow asked. Marineal, now visibly trembling, swallowed hard.
We sense that the goddess is in pain, or is in distress,
so Sumptu interjected. But the Yawkla held up a hand to silence the older drow, and never turned her penetrating gaze from Marineal. The handmaiden's hand drifted lower, around Marineal's delicate jaw and gently, lightly down her neck. The young Bayenri seemed to Sosumtu on the verge of panic. Despite her misgivings regarding Meriniel, Sosumtu lifted her hand into Meriniel's view, and her fingers flashed the word, strength. Meriniel firmed up immediately and shook her head.
"We are House Bayenri," she said solidly. "If Lady Lolth is in need, we are here to serve, that is all."
"But you tremble at the touch of a handmaiden," the Yokel replied. "Are you afraid? Or do I so disgust you?"
Sosumtu held her breath, knowing that if Meriniel answered incorrectly, the Yokel would likely drag her back to the demon web pits for an eternity of torment. But Meriniel smiled, then suddenly embraced the handmaiden in a passionate kiss. Sosumtu nodded in admiration, silently congratulating the play of the young priestess. A long while later, Sosumtu and Meriniel walked side by side through the halls of the Bayenri main house, on their way to report to the matron mother. They had learned little from the handmaiden directly, which was typical of such encounters.
"Why?"
Meriniel asked quietly. She didn't have to elaborate. Sosumtu could have allowed her to fail the handmaiden's test and been rid of her once and for all, and every drow in Manzo Baranzon knew that Sosumtu Bayenri would like nothing more than to be rid of Quenthel's troublesome and ambitious daughter.
"You thought it a test?"
Sosumtu replied. Meriniel stopped walking and considered the older priestess.
"You think the handmaiden's call for strength is aimed at you?"
Sosumtu asked and scoffed.
"Is it an experience, then, or stupidity that propels you? Or arrogance, perhaps? Yes, that would be a proper failing for a child of Quenthel."
For many heartbeats, Meriniel didn't respond, didn't even blink, and Sosumtu could see her rolling the insult over and over in her thoughts, looking for an angle of counterattack.
"You dare speak of the matron mother with such disrespect," came the predictable retort. "The test was for me,"
Sosumtu declared. And she started walking again briskly, forcing Meriniel to move swiftly to catch up.
"And as such, for House Bayenri wholly."
Meriniel, who had, after all, just made love to a half-melted lump of dirty wax, wore a most delicious and perplexed expression.
"When a handmaiden takes the